Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Advaita Chandra Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.59 today. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this opportunity to serve all of you. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 59. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki krishnaya vasudevaya devaki nandanaya cha nandagopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 59. Nayasya chittam bahirartha vibhramam tamo guhayam cha vishuddham avishat yad bhakti yoga anugrihitam manjasa munir vichashten anutatrate gatim. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, form, fame, activities, etc. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25, Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha tad joshanadashva apavarga vartmani shraddharatir bhaktir anukrammishyati. Simply by the association of pure devotees, one can understand the transcendental name, fame, quality and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has repeatedly said, sadhu sanga, sarva shastra kohe, lava matra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoy. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.54. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu sanga, or association with a devotee, means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. Specifically, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra purifies one, and this chanting is therefore recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, by chanting the names of Krishna, the mirror of the heart is cleansed, and the devotee loses interest in everything external. When one is influenced by the external energy of the Lord, his heart is impure. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan nivetarah. He whose heart is purified can see that the whole cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he whose heart is contaminated sees things differently. Therefore, by satsanga, or association with devotees, one becomes perfectly pure in heart. One who is pure in heart is never attracted by the external energy, which urges the individual soul to try to dominate the material nature. The pure heart of a devotee is never disturbed when he executes devotional service in the form of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. In all, there are 9 processes one can follow in the execution of devotional service. In any case, a pure-hearted devotee is never disturbed. The bhakti yoga process must be carried out by avoiding the 10 offenses one can commit while chanting the Maha Mantra, and the 64 offenses one can commit while worshipping the deity. When a devotee strictly follows the rules and regulations, Bhakti Devi becomes very much satisfied with him, and at that time he is never disturbed by anything external. A devotee is also called a muni. The word muni means thoughtful. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. The non-devotee's speculation is impure, but a devotee's thoughts are pure. Lord Kapila and Shukadev Goswami are also called muni, and Vyasadeva is addressed as Mahamuni. A devotee is addressed as muni or thoughtful when he purely understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that when one's heart is purified by the association of devotees and by the avoidance of offenses committed when chanting and worshipping the Lord, the transcendental name, form, activities of the Lord are revealed by the Lord. Omagyanatimirandhasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation again, the devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. So in this verse, it's a very, very powerful verse, almost the conclusion, where it says, Srila Prabhupada explains about the glories of the association of devotees and of chanting the holy names in the association of devotees. Actually, it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is predicted in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says there that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. His weapons are his associates. It says that the Parshada, all of the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates are his weapons. If we see all the other acharyas, incarnations of the Lord, they have their own weapons. Lord Rama comes with the weapon of bow and arrow. Lord Parshuram comes with axe, Balaram comes with a plow, and there are so many different incarnations who come with their own weapon. Lord Narsingadev with his nails, even if you see all the other devatas and devis, they also have their weapons. Lord Shiva has his Trishul, Durga Devi also has her several weapons, and Srila Prabhupada told a story that one time a German man came to India and in search of God, and then finally he concluded, yes, I have found who God is. And so everyone was confused. There are like 33 million gods, demigods, and devatas, devis. How did you come to a conclusion? Who is the Supreme Personality? Who is God? He said, look, I went to all temples. Every temple I see, the deity has some weapon or the other. But only when I came to Krishna temple, he had no weapons. He just has a flute, and he's just enjoying. Everyone else is come here for a particular purpose. But Krishna, he's just enjoying. His only purpose is to enjoy and let everyone participate in his enjoyment. So he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Srimad Bhagavatam, as it says, Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangopanga Traparshadam Yajyas Sankirtana Prayair Yajanti Hisumedhasaha. It says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came Sanga Upanga Astra Parshadam. What is his Astra? Sangopanga Astra Parshadam. His Astra is Sanga Upanga, is the association of his devotees. He comes along with his Parshad, along with his associates. His greatest weapon is the association of devotees. It doesn't say, of course it says Yajna Sankirtana Prayer, he will start chanting the congregational chanting of the holy name, but what is the weapon by which he will start the Sankirtan movement is Sang Upanga Astra, is the association of devotees. Because if we are associating with devotees, that is the greatest benediction. If we are truly associating with devotees, we will be able to chant. Because the association of devotees chant and dance. If we associate with them, we will also start chanting. But if we are chanting and not associating with devotees, then that chanting will start to become like a burden. If we are not hearing in the association of devotees along with chanting, then that chanting, that service, slowly will start feeling like a burden. And we won't be feeling any enjoyment. Eventually, as Sachinandan Maharaj says, how long, my devotees, can you chant without taste? How long can we continue to chant just because we have to chant, unless we develop a taste for chanting the holy names, which comes by hearing in the association of devotees? What does it mean, this association of devotees? Does it mean we go together, be physically always around devotees? Yes, it does mean that. But what happens in that association? The transformation that happens in that association is what real association of devotees. If we go to association of devotees and say devotees get together and go for some sense gratification, they are devotees because they chant and they come to temple, and so they get together, go for some sense gratification, is that true association? That's not really association. Real association is where there is, of course, transfer of information, and there is inspiration, and there is transformation as a result of that inspiration. All these three things must be there for us to have an effective association of devotees. That transformation, that exchange of faith that happens, that is real association of devotees. Otherwise, Srimad Bhagavatam here says, we are in a deep, dark well. We will completely be bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. It is explained in one of the Shastras, what is the position of the living entity? All of us, it is said there was a person, he was running in a forest, and this tiger was chasing him. And this person was running, and as he was running, he falls into a ditch, actually falls off a cliff. And when he falls off a cliff, he somehow catches hold of a branch of a tree, and he's hanging on the branch of the tree. If he goes down, if he loses grip into the branch of the tree, he will fall down into a pit of snakes, because he's falling down a pit, and there's all snakes down there. And up there is the tiger who was chasing him. So he can't go up because the tiger is there. He can't fall down because the snakes are there. He's just hanging there. And as he's hanging, he sees that there are two mice, one black mice, one white mice, who's coming on the branch, who's constantly there. They are eating up the branch, and any time he may fall. On top of that, when on that branch was a honeybee hive, a beehive, and because of his pressure that he was putting on the branch, the bees got disturbed, and those bees are coming and biting him. And in between all of this commotion, a drop of honey falls from that beehive, and that person feels, this is the only happiness I have. And he's just clinging on that to that source of happiness. This is the situation of a person in the material world, in a dark well, bewildered by the external energy. It is said that the tiger up there, there are three kleshas, adhyatmika klesha, adhibhautika klesha, adhidaivika klesha. The adhyatmika klesha is all the bees who are biting this person, is the miseries inflicted upon by the mind and the body. The adhibhautika klesha is represented by the tiger, which is miseries caused by other living entities. And adhidaivika klesha is the miseries caused by natural disturbances, which is compared to the snake pit down below. And then the two mice, the white and the black mice, who are coming, who are actually eating up the branch of the tree, they are considered as the day and the night, the representatives of time, who's constantly eating up our life. But in all this commotion, we get a little bit of sense gratification, and we consider that as our greatest treasure. And we feel it's worth being in this dark well because there is just enough pleasure to keep us attracted to this, all of this misery. That is Maya Devi's plan. That is the deep dark well. And it's that honey. We are so enamored by that honey that we don't even have the intention to get out of this material world. But those who are completely cleansed by the process of devotional service, as it says here, who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy. And that happens by sadhu sangha, through sadhu sangha, when we associate with devotees who are advanced, as well as when we take their association in a proper service attitude, when we serve in the association of devotees, when we hear and chant in a mood of service, in the association of devotees. That's when the transformation happens. And that kind of association, even lava matra, even 1/12 of a second, if we get the association, we can get liberated. We can get the highest benediction. That kind of association where the person who is giving the association is really powerful, very advanced, and the person who is receiving the association is receiving it in a very, very helpless, focused way. For example, we may go to our temples and associate with devotees in the temples, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week. But what are we doing after that? How are we taking that inspiration, that education, that information, inspiration, and the transformation? Did that happen? When we meet devotees, are we exchanging information about Krishna? The purpose of the association of devotees is that we remind each other. Hey, how is your chanting going? But nowadays, if someone asks, how many rounds do you chant? People get offended. Oh, it's as if someone has asked for your salary or something. No, that's between me and Krishna. Why should I tell you how much rounds am I chanting? Well, that's because association of devotees, we are in it together. The mood of the association of devotees is that we are all fighting the war against Maya together. It's not that we are all individual soldiers. When we are fighting this war against Maya together with the help of Guru and Krishna, Guru is the commander-in-chief. But then we have the association of all of our army people. And when we are fighting this war, if one soldier goes down, everyone else comes and tries to help him. Not that, okay, they are on their own, I'm on my own. We are not fighting individual wars. That's why that association of devotees is very important. And that mood that if anyone is injured, we should come together to help that individual rather than letting that individual be on their own. That is the real association of devotees, where we remind each other of Krishna, where we are concerned about each other's spiritual life as well as material life, because it affects spiritual life. And the best is, when our material life becomes spiritual life. There is no material life. Everything becomes spiritual. Even when we are engaging in so-called material activities, our consciousness is still spiritual, and we are spiritualizing everything. That is the effect of association of devotees, is that our life becomes completely spiritualized. There is no balancing material and spiritual. Everything is spiritual. We are spiritualizing everything. That kind of transformation happens because of the inspiration we get in the association of devotees, because of the information that we get, because of the inspiration that we get. This transformation happens due to exchange of faith. We see advanced devotees, how they are conducting their lives. And then that transfer of faith, wow, this devotee, he's working a job, and he's also taking care of his family, but he still makes sure that he gets up early in the morning, performs Mangalarti, chants 16 rounds, does his exercise, and associates with devotees. Well, I can also do that. He has that kind of faith. I can also develop that faith. That is the exchange of faith that happens. When we see devotees are going through troubles, but they are still depending on Krishna, helplessly just dependent on Krishna, and they're not giving up chanting the holy names. They're continuing, in fact, they're increasing their endeavor in chanting the holy names, helplessly crying out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we see they are continuing to read Srila Prabhupada's books, that gives us inspiration, that gives us faith. Oh, that person has faith in the dependence of Krishna. We should also depend on Krishna. That is association of devotees. And we have so many examples in the scriptures of this, where people have actually really benefited from the sadhu sangha. There are some in the lives of the associates of Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have example of Jadabharat. Jadabharat, as we know, that he was actually Bharat Maharaj in his previous life. He gave up his kingdom to his sons, and he went to the forest. He started. He was on the bhava stage. There are 9 stages of devotional service. Adho Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sangha Tatha Bhajan Kriya Tatha Anartha Nivritti. Then comes Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav, and then Prema. He was in the penultimate stage of Prema, of love of God. And in that Bhava stage, he was performing his meditation, his sadhana, in the forest alone. And just then, what he happened to see, he saw this ghastly scene where a tiger was chasing this deer, and this doe, this female deer, she jumped across a lake. And when the tiger saw that this deer is now away from his reach, he started roaring. And in that roar, while she was jumping, she was pregnant. And because of that roar, when she was in the air, she had a miscarriage. And the baby fell into the river, and the mother, she went to the other side, and she looked back, she couldn't do anything. And Bharat Maharaj was seeing all this. And he was so compassionate, naturally. He dove and he saved this baby deer. And then he started caring for this baby deer. And slowly, steadily, he started becoming attached to the baby deer. And Srila Prabhupada says there, it is good to have affection towards family members, good to have affection towards other living entities, but we should not become attached to them, separate from Krishna. We should become attached to Krishna, but we can show affection to everyone. And the fine line between affection and attachment is, are we sacrificing our spiritual sadhana? We should be affectionate, but we should know our priority is our chanting of the holy names, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees. That is our priority. When we start losing that priority in our life because of attachment, then it has become attachment to other things. But otherwise, affection is okay. And that's what started happening in the life of Maharaj Bharat. He started because of his attachment to the baby deer, he started neglecting his sadhana. Or sometimes first he started saying, okay, he would perform his meditation with both of his eyes closed. Then slowly he said, let me just open my eyes and perform my meditation, so side by side I can also see if this deer, baby deer, you know, is not in the harm's way. And so he started opening his eyes and performing his meditation while also seeing where the baby deer is going. And then slowly, steadily, his level of sadhana started reducing and he became attached to the deer. Imagine, he was at the penultimate stage of love of God. And at the time of death, guess what? He thought of a deer, and then he got, in the next life, he got the body of a deer. And Srila Prabhupada, he gives a purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam while telling the story, this pastime, that if Maharaj Bharat had association of devotees, one of the devotees may have come and said, Prabhu, Bharat Prabhu, it seems that you are getting too much attached to this deer. Let's perform our sadhana together. And Maharaj Bharat would have been cautioned, and he would have probably taken more care of his sadhana and taken care of the deer at the same time. So in this way, we can understand, Prabhupada says, this is the disadvantage of not having association of devotees, that even someone at the bhava stage can can actually fall down to attachment. What to speak of us? Srila Prabhupada says, if anyone thinks that they can advance in Krishna consciousness without the association of devotees, then they are the most, I think the word he uses is mad. There is no one more mad than that person. So we should understand at any stage of Krishna consciousness, we need association of devotees. But what is the association of devotees? Generally we say, oh, we should just gather around and talk to devotees. But what are we talking? What is the quality of that? That's very important. And in the next life as a deer, because of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, that deer, which was Bharat Maharaj, in his next life, had the remembrance. He was Jatismara. He remembered all his past life. He remembered what mistakes he did in his previous life, who he was in the previous life. And therefore, this time, this deer was always around the hermitages of the sages. He was always associating with the sages. And due to that, in his next life, he got the body of a human again. And he still remembered all his past life. I was Maharaj Bharat, I was the deer, and now I've got this. This is my last lifetime. And so he acted as if he is Jada Bharat, meaning he's completely mad. He does not, he wasn't following any social norms, so that people leave him alone. And he can just, you know, focus on his sadhana internally. And because of that, one time when Maharaj Rahuguna got his association, because this Jada Bharat was asked by the king's men to carry his palanquin. And as he was carrying the palanquin, he saw through the forest, the king was inside the palanquin, and Jada Bharat, he saw some ants in the forest. And he was trying to avoid those ants, avoid stamping on those ants. And because of that, the palanquin was going upside down. It was having all these turbulations. And the king was really, really upset because of that. And he asked the palanquin to stop. And he said, who is doing this? And in this way, Maharaj Rahuguna got the association of Jada Bharat, a pure devotee of the Lord. And by that association, Maharaj Rahuguna was liberated. So there are so many different pastimes, how association of devotees helps us. There is also the example of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, when he came to know, I have just 7 days to live, he went, where did he go? He didn't ask Google. He went directly to the association of devotees. He called all the great sages. He said, I got 7 days to live. What should I do? And all of them discussed, and they said, Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami is the one who can actually help you. And then Shukadev Goswami was called, and then because of which we have now the Srimad Bhagavatam. The greatest scripture was revealed in the association of devotees. In that association was Suta Goswami, who then relayed this to the sages of Naimisharanya. So here we see all of this, even the greatest Srimad Bhagavatam was revealed in the association of devotees. There are so many examples of the associate of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, when he was Nimai Pandit, there was a Sanskrit teacher in Nadia. His name was Tapan Mishra. This Tapan Mishra is a very significant soul in the Sankirtan mission. Tapan Mishra is the father of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. This Tapan Mishra was very much attracted to Nimai Pandit. And at that time, Nimai Pandit, he already had come back from Gaya, and he had transformed, and he was chanting the holy names, he was teaching the holy names, and he told Tapan Mishra, chant the holy names. And in this way, Tapan Mishra was also transformed. And then he gave Tapan Mishra one of the most difficult services. Tapan Mishra was very happy in the association of devotees, serving with devotees, chanting and dancing with devotees. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You go to Kashi and stay there and wait for me to come there." And Tapan Mishra was shocked, because going to Kashi is almost like being banished, because Kashi was the headquarters of the Mayavadi. Mayavadi bhashya sunile hai sarvanash. No devotee wants to associate with Mayavadis. But Tapan Mishra was asked to leave the so-called association of devotees and go to Kashi and stay there, live there with the Mayavadis. No devotees would ever go there. There was no association of devotees of Lord Chaitanya there, except a few. He went and created association there. And Tapan Mishra was devastated. "Why are you asking this of me?" He said, "This is your service. You go there, you wait for me, I will come there, and you will form a huge part of my mission." So Tapan Mishra went there. For several years, he was staying alone. A few devotees were made. But other than that, it was all Mayavadis. He was just waiting for that one glimpse of Lord Chaitanya. Do we say he was away from the association of devotees? Actually, he was associating with devotees the most. He had the most sadhu sangha, because in his consciousness, he was always meditating, "When will Lord Chaitanya come?" In Vipralamba Bhav, "Oh, I wish Lord Chaitanya will come." He was meditating on the good fortune of the devotees in Nadia, who are having the association of devotees. What would those devotees be doing now? That is real association. When we take that association, that physical Vapu association with us, and transform it into Vani association. There are two kinds of association. Vapu is physical association of the Guru. Vani is the association of the sound vibration of the instructions of the Guru. And everywhere, the Vani of the Guru is considered to be more potent than the Vapu. And the Vapu, the physical association of the Guru, is only potent to the extent that it inspires us to follow the Vani. If we are just, Srila Prabhupada had so many followers, several of them were very close to him. And one time, devotees asked, Srila Prabhupada was in the Vyasasam, devotees asked, "Srila Prabhupada, who is closest to you?" And Srila Prabhupada looked around, he looked at his hand, there was a mosquito sitting on the hand of Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Right now this mosquito is closest to me than any of you. But what is this mosquito doing? It is only sucking my blood. Do you want to be close to me like that?" Whereas there are so many devotees who are not physically close to me, but they are following my instructions. That is real closeness to the Guru. That is really following the instructions of the spiritual master. And yes, so association, the physical association of devotees, is only as potent as it inspires us to follow the Vani of the devotees, which is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And then Tapan Mishra waited, and Lord Chaitanya, on his way to Vrindavan, he came there. And he transformed all the Mayavadi sannyasi into devotees. This was Tapan Mishra's sacrifice. But he was still in the association of devotees. So we need to understand what really the association of devotees means. And Tapan Mishra had a son, Raghunath Bhatta, who became Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya met him, and Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, "You should continue serving your parents, and then when your parents leave this body, you come and meet me. And then Raghunath Bhatta, he met Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya then asked him to go to Vrindavan, and he had the association of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and everyone else. And Tapan Mishra was the father of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who, if you see, he did not have any association of devotees, physical association, but he carried in his consciousness, in his heart, the association of devotees. He did not give up the instructions. Our very own Srila Prabhupada, he met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur probably 4 to 5 times in his entire life. But every time he met, he cherished that association. He was very, very attentive in hearing from his guru. And when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this instruction to many people to go out and preach in the Western world. But Srila Prabhupada, he took it as his life and soul. And because of that, he was empowered. Srila Prabhupada, from 1965 to 1966-67, he was just wandering alone in the streets of New York. He was actually associating with the Malichas. But the hippies, who were completely breaking all the regulative principles, but Srila Prabhupada in his heart was associating with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Several times he said, I'm never away from my Guru Maharaj. I never feel that I'm away from him. I'm always with him because I always meditate on his instructions. There are so many other pastimes that we can go in, but when we are chanting and hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, it's very important that we chant in the proper mood. Srila Prabhupada later on says that in the association of devotees, association with the devotee means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. This is the definition Srila Prabhupada gives of what it means, associating with devotee, is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and acting for Krishna. In this way, we engage in Krishna consciousness. But chanting the Hare Krishna mantra should be in what mood? That is very important. We should be begging to be accepted by Krishna. We should chant with a feeling. And if those feelings are put into words, it means, please accept me. Please engage me in your service. That's not the literal meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. The literal meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is, Hare is the divine feminine energy, Srimati Radharani. We are calling out to Krishna. But what the meaning is of the feeling, the meaning of the feeling that we should have while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is, please accept me. We have rejected him and come here. Now we are trying to go back by the mercy of Guru. And along with the Guru, now we are going and knocking Krishna's door. What feeling should we have? If we have rejected our father and gone, then we realize our mistake and now we are going back. We are ready to knock on his door. What feeling will we have while walking? We'll be remorseful, we'll be regretful, we'll be begging to accept, we'll be confessing, yes, I made a mistake, to Krishna before. And in that mood, we should chant. These are the feelings we should have while chanting, begging forgiveness, crying. Why do our acharyas say that our temples is like crying school? Because we are taught how to cry for Krishna, how to beg, how to be remorseful. And in that remorse, we find real happiness. It's not a depressing remorse. It's a remorse filled with excitement that we will meet Krishna, that Krishna is so merciful. He is merciful. With that faith, we are going back to him. but we don't deserve it. That's why we are asking for mercy. And if we ask in the proper mood, Krishna will give his mercy, especially because our guru is pleading. And when we have these feelings, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then Krishna accepts us. We should have, what does feeling mean? Feeling means intention. What is our intention of chanting Hare Krishna? What is our intention of calling out Krishna's names? The intention is to please accept me, please engage me in my service. That is why Srila Prabhupada said, the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is, O Radhe, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. That's not the literal meaning, but that's the meaning of the feeling that we should chant it. That intention should be that. And how will that feeling come? Because we have to prepare our mind and our consciousness before we chant. We should tell our mind, okay, for the next 2 hours, I give you a break. Don't disturb me. You go do whatever you want. I'm focusing on chanting the holy names. You're not allowed in. Just like when we go to sleep, we turn our whole life off. So we tell our mind, I'm not only giving you a break, I'm giving a break to my entire life. I'm turning my whole life off while I'm chanting. Because chanting is on an eternal platform. And all the troubles that we may be going through, all the pleasures that we may be going through in our current life, in that particular stage of our life, is insignificant compared to the relationship, eternal relationship that we are trying to develop. That eternal relationship is above and beyond all that we are going through in our current stage of life. It's even beyond our previous lives. It doesn't even matter. Just turn it off. Just put it on hold and try to develop that eternal relationship with Krishna. When we develop that and then come back to live this current stage of our life, we will be infused with spiritual energy. We will be able to tackle all the issues, all the troubles, all the problems, all the happinesses, all the pleasures also in a very graceful way and still remain in the association of devotees. But for the time that we are developing that relationship, chanting the holy names, we have to turn off all our life. That is what it takes to chant the holy names without offenses. Here it says that if we chant without, the conclusion is that one's heart is purified by the association of devotees. And by the avoidance of the offenses committed when chanting and worshipping the Lord, the transcendental name, form, and activities of the Lord are revealed by the Lord. So we have to not only chant, but also avoid the offenses. But not be afraid of avoiding the offenses. Sometimes we are like, okay, first to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives in propagating the holy names of the Lord. And then we are like, oh, I should not blaspheme this devotee. I should not blaspheme that devotee. Am I blaspheming? If we are afraid like that, then guess what we'll end up doing? We'll end up doing exactly what we don't want to. We'll end up blaspheming the devotees. Because all along in our mind we are saying, I don't want to blaspheme. I don't want to blaspheme. I don't want to blaspheme. And then we end up blaspheming. Because that the mind is only listening to blaspheme, blaspheme, blaspheme. Rather, we should focus on, let me glorify the devotees. Let me glorify. What is the positive aspect? The offenses are saying we should not blaspheme. But how do we not blaspheme? We don't blaspheme by glorifying. So we should always focus on, let me glorify the devotees. Let me glorify the devotees. Third, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And if you say, oh, I don't want to disobey, I don't want to disobey, I don't want to disobey, we end up disobeying. Rather, let's try to focus on the positive. How do I obey the orders of my spiritual master? What are his instructions? Let me obey, let me obey. I'll end with this small story from where it says that there was a millipede it says how avoidance of, rather than focusing on avoiding offenses, we should focus on following the opposite of offenses. Then we'll automatically avoid the offenses also. There was a millipede in a jungle, and this millipede had 1,000 legs. You know, this small centipede has 100 legs, millipede has 1,000 legs. And this millipede was in the jungle, and it used to dance very nicely with all his 1,000 legs. And he would give a performance, and all the animals from the jungles would come and watch this performance. And while they were watching this performance, they would cheer him, and this millipede would, because of the cheer, get so inspired and start dancing very, very gracefully with his 1,000 legs. And everyone would come with their musical instruments, and it would be a party every evening, just everyone coming to see the dance of this millipede. Now, when this dance was going on, there was one, Mr. Toad, the frog. He was very, very envious of the millipede. And so this frog said, this millipede is garnering all attention. How do I bring him down? He said, yeah, I have an idea. He went to Millipede and he said, Mr. Millipede, you dance so well. You are the best dancer in the world. I've never seen such a performance before. Can you please teach me how to dance? And Millipede was like, well, I just dance. I don't know how to teach dance, but I just dance, just have a happy time. And naturally, I just dance. I've never taught dance to anyone. He said, please, please make me a disciple. I want to learn from you how to dance. So Millipede said, okay, all right, come tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. So he, the next day, the frog comes and says, yeah, teach me how to dance. And tell me first, if you can tell me, which leg do you lift first? Do you lift the 556th leg first, or the 999th leg first, or the second leg first? Which leg do you lift first? And Millipede said, I never thought about that. I just, whichever leg comes up, I just lift it and start dancing. Maybe tonight I'll think about which leg and I'll let you know. So this time, when the performance starts in the evening, the millipede is thinking, which leg should I lift first? And says, maybe I should lift the second leg. And then which leg should I lift next? And he starts thinking, and his performance becomes flawed. He's not able to dance properly. People are seeing that there's breaks in his performance, and it's not flowing naturally. And then the next day, again, the millipede is thinking, which leg should I lift first? And he's trying different legs, and he's trying to do it very methodically, and it's just not coming. And day after day after day, this thought of which leg should I lift first just ruins the performance of this millipede. And Mr. Frog is successful in his devious plan to defame the millipede. So we should not get stuck in, the moral of the story is, we should not get stuck like the millipede, just thinking about the offenses, just thinking, going too deep into it. Just live our life in the association of devotees, chant attentively, focus on the positives, and the negatives will automatically go away. So with this, we end our discussion today. If there are any questions or comments, we can take now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Haribol, are there any questions or comments? If not, we can move today.
Hare Krishna, Advaita Chandra Prabhuji. I just would like to thank you for this wonderful class today, and the kind of examples, and even from Prabhupada's time, the examples you have given, which clearly tells us how we should be approaching things. especially about the chanting you mentioned. So, of course, it's a challenge for everybody to stay focused while chanting, but then all these tips which you share often definitely help. So, thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. So, the story you told at the end, so what is the moral of the story? Means...
The moral of the story is don't think too much. Like while chanting, we think too much of, oh, am I committing this offense? Am I committing that offense? Sometimes we just get so bogged down by that. Sometimes while chanting, we think, am I chanting properly? Am I chanting? Just try to feel naturally the feelings of gratefulness and helpless dependence on Krishna. And those feelings will take us through, rather than thinking about too much about, am I chanting properly? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Am I committing an offense? That makes us too fearful to even execute devotional service. Just like the millipede was, when he was dancing with his feelings in his heart, there was a natural flow. But as soon as he started analyzing, and you know, he had a paralysis through analysis. So we should not get into paralysis through analysis of our spiritual life in that way.
Yes, Prabhuji, and also Prabhuji, see, like we should go with the feelings of our hearts. Actually, there are no feelings. We are just learning, you know. And our Guru Maharaj told, like, I'm talking about myself, Guru Maharaj told to chant, so that's why I'm chanting. So, how to get that feeling, actually?
Well, that's a very good question. We may not have full feelings of love for Krishna, love for Radharani, or things like that, but we have a feeling of gratefulness. We have a feeling of thankfulness sometimes. Whatever little feeling we have, 1% feeling we are having, not 100%, 1% love for Krishna. That's why we even came to Krishna consciousness and we learned, and that's why we are continuing to serve. It's not like we have zero feeling. We have 1% maybe. It is not completely fructified. We have 1% feeling of gratefulness, right? Use that feeling to offer to Krishna. We have feelings of dependence or helplessness that, hey, look, there is nothing else which is going to save me at the time of death. It's only Krishna's holy name. If we try to cultivate these feelings, rather than cultivating the feeling of anger and pride and greed, we cultivate the feelings of humility and dependence on Krishna and feelings of gratefulness and thankfulness towards Krishna. Then, whatever little it may be, when we try to use those while chanting, these feelings will grow. Or feelings of even remorsefulness or regret, that this I've come to this material world and I'm completely helpless. I want to go back. How do I go back? I kicked on the face of Krishna and came down here. Now I'm having to come back. So actually, these are not just theory. This is actually in practically how can we feel them, these feelings. These very, very, and they may not be 100% feelings. Just 1% of love we may have, 1% of selflessness we may have. Just with that 1%, if we offer to Krishna, Krishna will increase that. Because the reason we are chanting, if we don't have any feeling, then we would not be attending this Bhagavatam class. We would not be serving the devotees. Maybe little bit feeling is there. Maybe we are 99% selfish, but 1% selflessness may be there. We are offering food, maybe we are offering different tulsi to Krishna and asking for selfish prayers that Krishna, please, dhanam dehi, this dehi, that dehi. But one leaf we can offer, Krishna, this is just for you. This is just for your pleasure. I don't want anything for this particular tulsi. At least we can do that. So amongst all the selfishness, there is 1% selflessness. Let's offer that to Krishna, that devotion. But sometimes we feel, oh, unless I'm so fallen, I will not be able to do anything. Yes, I'm fallen. But that doesn't mean, one time one devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Srila Prabhupada said, you are not most anything. Most fallen is also Krishna. Most greatest is also Krishna. What Krishna activities Krishna does, you cannot do anyway. So you are not most anything. Then another time, another devotee said, Prabhupada, but I'm so fallen. So Prabhupada said, okay, so what are you doing about it? Okay, if you know you're fallen, will you just stay fallen, or are you wanting to do something about it? So yes, we are fallen, and we have all these disqualifications. That is what makes us qualified to beg for mercy. Mercy means I'm not qualified. Mercy means, otherwise it would be karma. Karma means I deserve something, so I get it. But mercy means I don't deserve it. And when the more we feel that I really don't deserve, I have no love, I have no this thing, then what are we doing about it? We are going to Krishna and we are saying, Krishna, I have no love for you. Please, I don't deserve it, but I'm still begging. I don't have anyone else to go to. I'm just dependent on you. Please give me that love for you. Please give me this feeling. If we are not feeling anything, we beg for that feeling. Krishna, I have not done anything to get that feeling, but I'm begging you, please. And we really beg like a beggar. Like you know, one time I was driving car and I stopped at the signal and I saw this beggar was begging on the signal. He had a placard with him. It said, having visions of a cheeseburger. And I was thinking, wow, we can learn from this beggar how to beg for Krishna's mercy. We are standing at the crossroads of spiritual and material world while chanting with the placard, having visions of serving Krishna, having visions of serving devotees, having visions of the spiritual world. Please, anything will help. And when we beg Krishna, like how people beg on the signals, we can learn from them and then beg in that way, because they are also in that mood that they don't deserve it, they are not doing anything for it, but they are asking, begging for it. So we should not say, oh, I don't have any love, so forget about it, I'll just do mechanically. Yeah, but it won't last for a long time. If we have to, then we should at least, we can say, yes, I don't have any feelings. Krishna, please give me those feelings. I want to have those feelings for you. Then Krishna will give. He'll reciprocate in some way or the other. And we are having feelings. That's why we are continuing in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we will not continue. So let's go deep into finding what those feelings are and offering them to Krishna while we are chanting, while we are taking his name. Does that make sense? Hare Krishna, does that answer your question, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class. Prabhuji, I don't know how to put it across, but this doubt that, first question is like, when we were chanting for each round, can we like offer, like how we beg to Krishna, can we also beg to our previous acharyas, our Goswamis for per round or something like that? Prabhu, I heard it somewhere, so I just wanted to confirm or check how can we do that.
Yeah, we can beg to the acharyas. We beg to Guru and Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. And what we beg is that, please give me the taste for chanting the holy names. Please give me the feelings for chanting to Krishna so that I can please Krishna. That's what we beg for them.
Okay. Okay, so my second question is, like, it's like when somebody says something to us, it naturally, being a normal human being, I feel hurt, and while chanting it comes, and then some senior devotee told me, you know, whenever something comes, your mind will, you know, feel that hurt or whatever, it will try to, you know, feel bad about that person or think bad about that person, and then your intelligence should come and rescue your mind, saying, you know, whatever reasoning we can give, it is my own karma, and it would have anyway happened, I would have anyway got insulted, it could have been anybody, so this is this person, this person has nothing to do with anything, with this, but, you know, it was my karma. So these are the things our intelligence should be convincing our mind, and she was saying that as many times the mind disturbs, so many times the intelligence should, you know, teach or convince the mind. So my question here is, and that actually works, but my problem is, like, while mind thinks bad about that person, maybe the person whom we try or I am trying to help, and that person says something in return which really, really hurt because I didn't have any other intention than to just help. And so mind has already thought about it. So I have already committed that offense. Intelligence coming and rescuing it, it's a further rescue. But will that mind offense, will consider to be offense, or the my intelligence not letting my mind act upon it will help? Am I too complicated? I don't know if I put it across properly.
No, it's a very good question, very deep question. Thank you for asking that. Yes, there is offenses on the level of the mind. There is offenses at the level of the words and offenses at the level of the actions. Manasa, vacha, karmana. So even though the offense is not at the level of the action, but it may be at the level of the mind. And yes, we have committed that. But just because we have committed an offense doesn't mean now we cannot do anything. So Srila Sanatana Goswami, he says that when we commit an offense, then there are two components to it. One component, okay, let me give a short answer first and then I'll give a little bit detail. The short answer is, if in your mind you have thought something negative about a devotee, it's good that you intellectually convince your mind, but also, along with it, try to see two positive thoughts about that devotee. Try to see two positive qualities about that devotee. Okay, that devotee misunderstood you and said something. But we can still see, if one negative thought comes, for every negative thought, think of two positive thoughts. If you had five negative thoughts, think of 10 positive thoughts about that devotee. Meaning, you say that this devotee is chanting. He is dear to Krishna. They are chanting, at least. They are, honoring prasadam so nicely. Or any other good quality of that devotee based on your experience. That devotee may not be bad to everyone. Maybe they are good to others. They are serving their spiritual master nicely. Or they may have said some good things to you earlier also. It's not like every time they're saying bad things. But try to see some good quality in that devotee. That also helps in counteracting. At least it stops the flow of negative feelings within the mind. Because the thoughts, negative thoughts comes from negative feelings. And as soon as we change with positive thoughts, those positive thoughts affect the feelings, and the source of those thoughts, negative thoughts, go away. So that's one quick thing in addition to what you are doing, which is good, which is, you know, intellectually convincing, but also intellectually try to see what are the, or try to feel what are the good qualities in that devotee. This is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would also do when, during his Vyasa Puja, if he knew that two devotees are having ill feelings towards each other, he would call both of them on the stage and then he would say, I am your spiritual master, and I am instructing you to tell something good about this person and the other person to tell something good about you. And so now they're in the stage in front of all these devotees and their Guru Maharaj is saying, glorify this other devotee. And they are really not able to see any good quality in the other devotee. But they have to go dig deep down now and try to find something which is good which they can see good in that devotee. And when they would do that, then suddenly all those ill feelings, the source of those ill feelings was eradicated. So this is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's formula, is when you have feel the bad feelings, yes, we should stop ourselves from harm. Forgiveness does not mean that we again put ourselves in the harm's way, but we should work on our mind to get rid of these offenses. If we have committed, this stops us from future offense. But the offense that we have already committed, it has two components according to Sanatana Goswami. One component is that the devotee may feel bad, and the second component is that Krishna feels bad. So if we are doing any offense in the mind, maybe the other devotee may not feel bad because we have not put it in words or action yet, but Krishna does feel bad. So for the component of the devotee feeling bad, so what to do if we have committed an offense? Now an offense has been committed, but we want to continue with devotional service. So we go and beg forgiveness from that devotee. That resolves one level of the component, especially if he has felt bad because of our words or actions. And the second component is that Krishna has felt bad. How to get rid of that component of the offense? For that, Sanatana Goswami says, we have to serve that devotee. Not only beg forgiveness, that only takes care of one part, but we have to serve. Just like Maharaj Ambarisha was offended. And at that time, Maharaj Ambarish said, I don't really feel any offense. Don't worry about it. So the devotee sometimes may not feel the offense, but Krishna has felt offended because of the devotee being because of us offending the devotee. So to overpower that, we have to serve that devotee or do something that pleases that devotee, that makes that devotee happy. So if we truly want to counteract the offense, we should look for ways on how we can make that devotee happy by our actions, by our words, or things like that. Then the Krishna's component is also taken care of. And then it cleanses our minds of any future offenses, as well as the current offense.
Thank you so much, Prabhupada, for that answer. But here, sometimes what happens, devotees, they may not realize they have committed the offense. My problem is, if I go and tell sorry for that, he will say, oh, did I offend you? And then putting that person into trouble.
So you can at least go and serve them.
Yeah.
Just serve them in a way, give them a gift. Sometimes begging forgiveness always does not mean go and say sorry to their face. There are many other ways that we can beg forgiveness also. Sometimes when we say sorry to their face, they may get more offended because they realize, oh, that means you really did the offense. So we should beg forgiveness, but that doesn't mean... there are many other ways. We have to be sensitive based on the time, place, circumstance. But definitely, we have to take care of the component where Krishna is offended. And so we should look for ways, tax our brains, to see what does this devotee like, and let me make this devotee happy. Let me please that devotee. Okay. You don't have to tell why you are doing this extra effort, but make that extra effort to please that devotee, then the offense will also go away. Okay. So that's why we said, rather than being afraid, like the millipede, of, did I blaspheme this devotee? Did I offend? Did I this? Just glorify and serve. That's if you do these positive things, automatically the offenses would be taken care of. And if you are always glorifying, always serving, guess what? You will never commit an offense, and you will always be free of offenses. But if we focus on how do I be free of offenses, then we are only focusing on offense, and we end up doing that offense.
Very beautiful promise.
Glorify and serve. Just focus on, how can I glorify? How can I serve? How can I look for good qualities? How can I serve? And then things will take care of itself.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are there any more questions for Prabhuji at this point?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanas Pranam, our glorious Krishna Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for your wonderful class, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I have one question, as a general question. Regarding this coronavirus, even devotees are affected and their chanting is, because while chanting the mind is going, what will happen? What suggestion you can give to devotees?
Well, we should chant Narsinga Kavacha if we are feeling fearful. There is Narsinga Kavach, Narsinga, pray to Lord Narsingadev for protection of our devotion and also of our body. And Narsinga Kavach has many ways in which we are asking for protection for body as well as for the mind as well as our devotion. And also Gajendra prayers are helpful. So these will, if we not only recite these prayers but also meditate on the meanings of these prayers with faith and dependence on Krishna. Krishna, this is what I want, but I'm dependent on you. Whatever you feel good, please do that. Whatever you feel is best for me, please, you will, I have faith that you will do that, but I'm praying for you in this way. And then the fear, uncertainty and doubt will go away. Fear is because of our belief in our inadequacy. But if we have belief in Krishna, then Krishna is the most powerful. But yeah, let's coronavirus and all that, these things will come and go. We should take full precaution. We should practice social distancing and practice self-quarantine and things like that, and all of that measures we must do. We should not say, I'm dependent on Krishna, let me go out and do anything that I want. But we should try to now associate with devotees in our mind. Because if we physically associate, it may not be practical right now. So we should associate with devotees in the mind and practice all the things to keep ourselves safe. At the same time, this gives us more opportunity for hearing and chanting. And we should, take this opportunity, and that will get rid of the fear. If our mind, the fear comes because sometimes the mind is not engaged positively. If our body and mind are engaged at home in serving the deity, chanting the mantras, hearing and chanting, it'll help. And this conference calls and video calls are a wonderful way of getting the association. That has turned out to be more practical, because most of the temples have to be closed right now. But we can have online darshan, we can have Bhakti Sangha conference calls like this and get the association, exchange our faith and ideas and things like that. So we should continue doing that, and then fear will go away. Nothing will happen.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your association in the car.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Ranvat Pranam. Thank you very much for your deep, deep devotional association. Especially every time you are, our japa quality should be, we should chant our japa attentively. And yes, we should, so many points Prabhuji you cover, that when we feel filling with some Vaishnava or hurt some Vaishnava, we should see the good quality of that Vaishnava, and by that way, we understand our mistake, and we will serve Vaishnava so nicely. Prabhuji, Koti Koti Ganbar Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Okay, if there are no questions or comments, we can end the class here.
Absolutely.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, again for the wonderful class. And we are very grateful to you. And really look forward to having your association again in future. With that, we could wrap up the call. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His Grace Advaita Chandra Prabhuji ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji.